is happening, people, and welcome everybody to our American football podcast in the End Zone UK. We are down to just two teams remaining in the NFL. The Super Bowl excitement has begun and continues to build for the rest of this week. We did absolutely miss last week's episode, so I have to apologize. But last week, we saw the Kansas City Chiefs beat the Cincinnati Bengals, and the Eagles from Philadelphia beat the injury-ridden San Francisco 49ers to head to Super Bowl 57. As ever, I am your host, Dom, and across the mic from me, we have something special. Something very special for a Super Bowl episode. I have not one, but two In the End Zone team members on the episode this week. This is a three-way episode, a triple threat match. It is Big Dave and it is Lil Camo. How are we feeling, boys? Big Dave, how are you?
Good. This is my perfect threesome right here. Cam and Dom.
Nobody.
A football conversation, that is.
I was going to say, nobody on this planet wants that threesome, I can assure you.
I bet there's a few people that do.
Well, maybe.
Three absolute studs here.
And Camo, welcome.
What's happening, guys? Thanks for having me. Good to be back. And yeah, raring to go for Super Bowl weekend.
Absolutely. It is. This is going to be a different dynamic for us. Three people on the podcast, probably going to be all over the place shouting up opinions and whatnot. But I think it's great. It's the perfect episode to have three people on. Super Bowl is what it's all about. This is the greatest show on turf this week. We are buzzing for it. What I'm going to do is obviously call this episode Road to the Super Bowl. We've got a few days left leading up to it. Super Bowl 57 in Arizona. It is going to be a spectacle. I've been thinking about it all week and This is an absolute game. Like, between the two number one seeds, AFC, NFC, I mean, could we ask for more? It's unbelievable. I know you're not an Eagles fan, Dave. I know that, and our listeners know that. But it's a good Super Bowl, right?
I think for the neutral, it's pretty good. Although I think there's a lot of hate for both teams. I don't know who's. I've seen people commenting about the price of tickets for the Super Bowls and people saying that they wouldn't go because nobody likes, or that the people don't like either team that's in it. Mm. There's a lot to hate, I think. People hate Mahomes or hate on Mahomes because he's come in and he's obviously really good and he's won a Super Bowl already and lost one. And then the Eagles are so easy to dislike because the coach is an absolute scumbag. The quarterback up until probably this season, people thought he was a bum. And their team's just like loaded from top to bottom. It's a strong 53 man. So, I don't know. It's got potential to be a good game. I think the big people are giving the Chiefs, I think, too much love, man. The Chiefs ain't got the best team, but they've got Mahomes, haven't they? And that's what hopefully will get the job done for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, as we've invited him on, we've got an absolute Patrick Mahomes lover in Lil Camo, aren't we, Cam?
I not stand the man. And I'll put a lot of that hatred down probably to you because you bum him and worship him. However, yeah, I'm not going to say I don't get the hype. The man's amazing. I really do. Like, the things he can do is incredible. But I think there's a long way to go in his career yet for the hype that he's getting. Like, can he do it for another 10 years, and then fair, we can have the conversation. But
that's ruthless.
As Dave said, he's won one Super Bowl. He's got to another one where he got absolutely rumbled. If he bought, and as I said, going into this Super Bowl, I don't have him as the favourite. I have the Eagles as the favourites in this one. Three Super Bowl appearances, one ring. Wouldn't look great.
No,
but he's there. He's there, and he's put himself in the position to be able to go get that ring. And fair play to him. But
yeah, but you
jury's
don't like
out
it.
So far. Yeah.
No, I absolutely agree. I mean, the Super Bowl is what people aspire to, right? And Mahomes has been or will have been once this game is played to three of them. And he's only very young. I think that says a lot. But it's all about wins. It's all about wins. As Dave said a number of times on this podcast, who gives a shit? No one cares about records. No one cares about MVPs. It is literally all about a ring, winning a Super Bowl.
You say one thing there. It's all about the ring. I know one man who is all about the MVP.
Rodgers.
Yeah.
The man is about his MVPs.
Yeah, that's the problem when you've got people that aren't buying into that championship sort of mentality and all they want is them. I mean, he'll probably say on the outside, yeah, I want to win championships, and he probably does. But the dude's an individual player.
Yeah,
and that could be Mahomes, you know. People are quick to crown him as he's going to be the next GOAT. What was Brady? I think Brady won his first three, didn't he?
He didn't lose one.
He's only lost any to the Giants twice, and then the Eagles. So there's a lot of quarterbacks that only won one Super Bowl. Drew Brees, an all time great. Rodgers, obviously an all time great.
Rusty Wilson.
Rusty Wilson is definitely not an all time great. Not yet. But yeah, I mean, Mahomes could easily slide into that category. He'd go from being Jordan-esque to just another guy, you know, another guy that's won some Super Bowls and compiled some stats along the way.
I think that's the issue with this week, though, this Super Bowl year. I think that it's the linchpin in Mahomes' career. I think it's not definitely going to be the deciding factor of his career, but as Camo said, if you've been to three Super Bowls in a recent period of time and only come away with one win, you do start looking at whether that is just, you know, is that just average? Well, it's better than average, but is that just a normal Super Bowl winner, or is that somebody who's going to go down as one of the greatest ever? And it's going to be really difficult to come back from another Super Bowl loss in such a short period of time that you'd have to start saying, like, not too sure. On the flip side, literally on the flip side, if Mahomes wins this week, he will have two Super Bowl rings out of three appearances. That's pretty fucking good. And the man's, what, 28? That changes things. That genuinely changes things. That means he's got the same amount of rings as Peyton Manning, same amount of rings as Eli Manning, more rings than Rodgers and Drew Brees and Rusty Wilson, and same amount of rings as Big Ben. Like, that already elevates his career. So I think there's a lot of pressure individually on Mahomes this week.
So Mahomes is the second quarterback to do three Super Bowls in a 5-year span. The only other person to do it is Brady. And obviously the whole comparison is Mahomes going to be the best ever. He went up against Brady in a Super Bowl and Brady walked away with the ring.
Yeah,
I do not think he will ever eclipse what Brady's done because of their head-to-head in that Super Bowl.
Yeah,
and he couldn't get the job done.
Yeah, and the fact that, you know, in the first Super Bowl he was in, they were getting absolutely stomped on. He didn't even turn up till the end of the third quarter. Had a good fourth quarter, and then got the win. So he's not been. He's thrown two passes in the Super Bowl, two passing touchdowns in two Super Bowls, and four interceptions.
Really?
And he's not. Yeah, his stats are. I mean, his stats in the postseason, apart from the Super Bowl, are by far better than ever. He's got like 106 passer rating in all his playoff games. He's maybe got like 22 touchdowns and like 10 picks or something like that. It's just the Super Bowl, he seems to just kind of crumble a little bit. So it kind of makes you think, is he clutch or not? And without Tyreek Hill, because Tyreek Hill has bailed him out so many times,
true,
makes you think if taking that 10-year, £500 million contract was worth it. But he could have maybe took like a smaller deal, kept Tyreek Hill there, you know?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. It was a big deal. It was a big deal for the time. I think in years to come, if it doesn't get restructured at any time soon, it's going to become a more team friendly deal. But yeah, you're right. It means that in the immediate Super Bowl window that they've got going now, they've had to sacrifice some players. So
yeah, silly really, because one injury.
Yeah.
One injury, and that could, you know what I mean? He tears his ACL, he's out for a year.
Mm.
You know, mm. It happens. Gets a shoulder injury like that Brock Purdy's got, out for like the whole of next year.
Yeah, it's mad.
You need to optimise them winning windows, you know, and win when you can.
Absolutely. Well, we'll see. As I said, this episode is called The Road to the Super Bowl. We will talk a lot more about it a little bit later on. We have got two segments heading the listener's way. The first segment will be Ones to Watch, and that is players from this Super Bowl that me, Dave and Camo are going to highlight as impact players to watch in the Super Bowl game. And the second segment we're going to go into is Super Bowl predictions, and that is all three of us are going to give our predictions for the game, scores, and what are the most important things to consider from that game. But firstly, we'll circle back to something that Cam referred to a minute ago, and that is the off-season news for most teams. In fact, all teams apart from the Chiefs and the Eagles have now gone into their off-season mentality. There's been hires and fires and all sorts. And I just want to talk about the key elements of that move, all those moves, and the key news articles that are in the NFL floating around at the moment. I think the first one, most importantly to talk about, and whilst we've got Camo on the podcast, big Packers fan, is the talk around Aaron Rodgers. So, Camo, what are you feeling from Aaron Rodgers at the moment?
Well, first of all, he's gone into a 4-day darkness period. I don't know if he's hiding in a corner somewhere or what, but he's now evaluating, first of all, whether or not he wants to play football
right
next season.
Of course he is.
Does he want to play with the Packers next season? And then I'm guessing third of all will be, if not the Packers, where does he want to end up next season? Like, what team is ready for him to step into and win a Super Bowl? I get that he's doing that. I don't understand why he needs to announce that he's disappearing off the world for 4 days. Like, I don't say nobody cares, but I think I speak for a lot of Packers fans when I'm bored of the off-season drama around, will he play? Will he stay? Does he want to go be the Jeopardy host?
Mm.
I don't know. The man is absolutely class. One of the best throwers of a football ever, but it's getting to that point now where the drama longs out the off season, like, and you feel like you're being held to ransom a little bit, and it's not really the one.
It's got to be boring, isn't it? It's got to be boring.
Yeah, it sucks. I mean, for me, if he decides he wants to retire, great. I like the idea of him being a Packer, being like a one team man, retiring as a Packer. That is how we save the most cap space, so we can then do more going forward. So that intrigues me. If he decides he wants to come back for one more season, and we'll get involved early enough, I think the gripes that we had at the start of last season, where he didn't show up to training camp, didn't get any time in with our rookie receivers. He's used to playing with Devontae Adams, who is the number one receiver in the game. We've got two new receivers, rookie receivers, who he didn't put any time into. So they even came out mid-season and went, hang on, we showed up to practice, you didn't. That's on you a bit. But if he wants to come back and get fully involved, great, because with him there, you have the chance to win a Super Bowl. The man is that good. And then, do you know what? If he decides it's not Green Bay for him, or actually, if Green Bay decide Rodgers isn't for them, let's ship him off early enough before the draft, so we know which direction we're going in. We know what like capital we have to play with. I think all options there are intriguing. I'm almost wanting to see him get traded so that we can build for the future a bit more. Where at the minute, if he stays, great. He may only have one season left.
Fair play.
I think the man is worth 2 first round picks. And we could do a lot with that.
Really? 2 first rounds? Dave?
I'd say 2 first rounders.
2 first rounders for an old Rog? Old crusty Rog?
Yeah, I think if if he's content with playing, if you're definitely going to get at least 2 years out of him, I'd give 2 first-round picks.
Yeah.
But the issue, like Cam's saying there, the issue you've got with him, the guy's, he flip flops more than mine who has the Crocs, do you know what I mean? He's, he don't know what he's doing. Every year he decides that he wants to do something different. Like Cam says, the dude's disappearing.
Darkness.
Into the abyss, into Davy Jones's locker for 4 days to decide what he wants to do. And ultimately, I don't think he's going to retire because Brady's already retired this off-season.
Yeah.
I think if Rodgers retired as well, they're going to be kind of compared when it goes to like the Hall of Fame stuff in 5 years. They're going to be looking at careers and they don't, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Brady's had 3 careers within his one career and all 3 of them are better than what Rodgers has had.
Yeah.
You know, so I think he'll be thinking about that as well.
And he, oh, 100%.
The limelight's kind of been stolen already by Brady mm-hmm. retiring.
Oh, 100%. So, you don't retire the same year as the freaking GOAT, do you?
Because, yeah, you'd be the side note, like.
Yeah.
Because all everyone's going to do is going to be comparing you to him.
Of course.
For the
next
however long, you know.
Yeah.
So I think.
No, you're right. I've not really thought about that, but you are right. Like, you just don't retire as a quarterback of Rodgers's caliber, I suppose, when Brady's just hung his cleats up, because you don't even like Rodgers, no offense to him, but he doesn't even stand in Brady's like shadow when it comes to like a Hall of Fame scenario. He's obviously as good probably as an individual player, but he's certainly not had the achievements that Brady has. But where can you see, just real quick, last thing on Rodgers, but where can you see him going, Dave? What do you actually think is going to happen? He's going to keep playing?
I think he'll go to the Raiders.
Raiders?
Yeah.
Okay. Camo?
Devontae.
Yeah, I mean, the Raiders is a great shout. He's obviously got that connection with Devontae, and I think they would like to explore that. I would also be intrigued by that, because it put Rodgers up against Mahomes twice a season, which we've not had yet, which would be...
That'd be a disgusting conference, that would.
Yeah. But no, I see him going to the New York Jets. Obviously, they've just hired Nathaniel Hackett, Rodgers' old chum from Green Bay. He may have flopped in Denver, but actually put him in the Jets. I can see it. And they've got the draft capital to give up for him.
They have. Well, I'm going against the grain. I think Rodgers is going to do exactly what Rodgers always does. I think he's basically not a nobody, because he's obviously unbelievable, but he's basically a nobody. He's going to do the boring thing and stay in Green Bay so that he can finish his career there. And he's not going to win another thing. And he's probably going to retire in a year, maybe two. And he's just going to stay as a Packer. That's what I think is going to happen. Because I think he's going to come back and go, fuck it, I don't want to move. I don't want to be in New York. I don't want to go to Vegas. Fuck it, I'm going to stay here and try and build on what the Packers already have and not do anything. That's what I think he's going to do. Speaking of the Raiders, though, they've booted Derek Carr as well. So that's another off-season story to quickly talk about. Derek Carr's not a free agent, but they need to trade him, and they need to trade him ASAP after the Super Bowl. Otherwise, they are held accountable for something stupid like $40 million of his contract. So that needs to be a quick move. Where is that quick move going to go to, David?
I can see him at... I was going to say the Falcons, but I think Lamar Jackson ends up at the Falcons. So what I'm going to say he goes to the Jets.
Interesting. That would be a cool move, I think, because he's far better than Joe Flacco. He's far better than
Zach Wilson.
Zach Wilson or the other jabroni that they've got at quarterback. And the Jets were pretty good last year. If he goes there, I think that's quite a deep playoff run for the Jets.
It's an interesting one. Interesting.
Yeah.
For me,
I think
where
he goes to the Saints.
Oh, yeah. In that same division, I think it is the Saints.
I think he goes to the Saints personally. They're desperate for a quarterback. They need one. And I think, again, it's the same principle, same sort of thing. You stick Derek Carr into an offense that's got Kamara, Michael Thomas, maybe Jarvis Landry and that new Chris Olav, and it could be naughty. Could be naughty. The Saints were okay.
He visited him, didn't he? That's where he's visited this week, so that's probably the betting favourite, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, especially if he's gone there now, because the deal needs to be done really quickly. I think that's the smart...
I don't know if he like accepts the trade before the deadline. I wouldn't. If I was them, I'd be like, fuck the Raiders. Give me my 40 mil and they can cut me.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah. He's left on a bitter note. Yeah, okay, cool. And then there's been some coaching changes. You have to help me out here, boys, because I don't know all of them. The one that I saw really recently was Brian Flores going to the Vikings, who are desperate for something on defence, and I think it's quite a good move.
Yeah, solid move.
It's where they sucked.
It is where they sucked, yeah. So Brian Flores has gone to the Vikings. Obviously, we've not even spoken about it, but Sean Payton has gone to Broncos country. Let's ride. For all the picks in the world. A bit of a crazy one, really. Really, really not questionable because he's a good coach, but just questionable on what the Broncos have given up in capital in the last 2 years to acquire Russell Wilson and Sean Payton. 3 first round picks, 2 second round picks, a third pick, and 3 starting players to acquire those two. Is that good business?
If it works out.
So we'll only see in the coming years, but
way to sit on the fence, boys.
Yeah, no, I mean, if he can fix whatever's ailing Russell Wilson, I know he's already said that he's kicking his entourage out, he's taking his office off him, his parking spaces have gone. I think he's going to try and give that sort of Saints mentality.
Yeah, and why would he not? What a tool! Why has he got his own office?
Because he's a dick, isn't he? But apparently Russell Wilson's reached out to Drew Brees and they've been having conversations about how Peyton can make him better.
Right. Yeah, I mean, Peyton's done wonderful things with a quarterback that was, I suppose, not the standard size for a quarterback and didn't play the standard way, but we'll see if he can work his quarterback whispering with Russell Wilson. But it's definitely going to be an interesting one because I think that Russell Wilson has got what, maybe 7 games. If he looks the same as last season in his first 7 games, not that they're going to do anything because they're tied into a massive contract, but I think that then they'll be like calls for fucking blood if he still sucks 7 games into next season.
I think they'll just get rid of him. Yeah, they're worth like, their owners are worth like $65 billion. They're one of I think they've got the richest owners in the league. They don't give a fuck about whatever his contract is, $240 million. They'll swallow that. They'll fuck him for a bit because of the cap. But I don't think they're going to be held to ransom. If he's gash again next year, somebody will take him. There are that many peasant teams in the league that want a quarterback and he'll be living off his legacy. Somebody will take him.
That's true.
Texans would love him.
Yeah, it's true. So you could Titans. Still shop him, yeah.
Yeah, somebody would give something for him and take that horrific, cancerous contract on.
Yeah.
Not the Giants.
No. And I can't imagine he'd ever come back to the Seahawks.
The Seagulls, is he?
cool. Any other off-season sort of big news that we want to talk about before we head into last Super Bowl 57?
I think you've skipped over maybe the biggest one, which is off-season retirements.
Oh, yeah.
You almost hit it as well. What did you say? You said, what did you say at the start? Pissed me off now because I can't remember, but it sounded like you missed out retirement. Yeah, something.
Oh yeah, something okay, good. Yeah. I mentioned the TB12, the GOAT, the greatest of all time. But yeah, okay, we'll talk about those real quick as well. So Tom Brady has retired again.
But good.
Yeah. Is this gonna stick? It's got to.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
It feels like an anticlimax, though. Like, that's why I've skipped over it, is because I think last year we wanted to do a fucking whole podcast on it, but now it's kind of like
massive shame he came back for that one season.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't work. He blew up his family.
Not literally.
maybe not literally, but like, yeah, not the smartest decisions all around by him, but he's Brady, he does what he wants.
That's absolutely true.
He does do what he wants.
He does. And you can kind of allow it when you're the GOAT, apart from Giselle. She clearly didn't allow it.
Eli Manning didn't allow it.
And Eli. The two owners of Brady's balls, Eli Manning and Giselle Bundchen and Nick Foles. He's got three balls as Brady. Okay. So, I mean, yeah, it's some big news. It's obviously huge news for the NFL. Like, the greatest quarterback to ever play the game is now out of the NFL. It's going to open some things up, you know, for certainly in the NFC, like you say, maybe for Rodgers to be that leading man for a few more years, which is why I think he might stay in with the Packers and just think Brady's not in the way now. Maybe there's something I can do. But, I think it's obviously a shame, but I think it's absolutely time. And we've lost some monsters over the last few years in terms of just quarterbacks. You know, you're talking Brady, Ben Roethlisberger, Phil Rivers, Eli Manning, who else has retired? Drew Brees, you know, like all these players were players that I was watching 8-9 years ago who were all competing for Super Bowls, basically. And now you've got the youngest pairing of quarterbacks of all time in a Super Bowl this year. Mahomes at 27 and Jalen Hurts at 24. It's a whole new game changer. Other retirements then, boys. Who else has disappeared?
JJ Watt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
AJ Green.
Yeah. I think we mentioned JJ Watt earlier on in the season when he retired. Yeah. AJ Green's another one, yeah.
Yeah.
But it just feels like that generation of players is...
Yeah,
disappearing quick.
Mm.
Yeah,
and they still had impacts. Like JJ Watt still was a good player. Like he still made his presence felt on the pitch. And AJ Green, I mean his last touchdown catch. If anybody's seen that, if you go ahead and Google what it looked like, it was fucking amazing. Went up and caught a ball whilst being sort of semi tackled, bodied him out of the way and got into the end zone. It was pretty nice. So like he still had something in him. But I think it's the right time. Being a Cardinal. It's not good. It's not a good time to be a Cardinal.
And D-Hop wants out.
Has he specifically said he wants out?
I think so.
All right.
That's ages ago though.
Yeah. I also think they've said they're open to trading him.
Right.
It's weird that they're entering a rebuild when they've got a good quarterback.
But Murray's out for the first half of next season.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, maybe they're after a high draft pick then.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, they could be.
That's what I was saying about the Lamar Jackson thing, apparently they're 100 million off on the contract negotiations.
That's ridiculous.
You ain't finding 100 million from somewhere.
No, not if you're tabling. If you're tabling an offer that is 100 million shy, you ain't gonna. You're not putting that fucking offer in, are you?
No.
You don't just go, okay, let's meet him where he wants to be met. 100 mil. That's insane.
I mean, so, he's doing his own negotiations, right? He hasn't got a
that's right,
agent.
Yeah.
It's him and his mom.
Yeah, I mean...
It's probably a bit stupid.
Greedy? The man just doesn't want to pay the agent the 20% or whatever it is?
Maybe, but he also wants more money than they're willing to offer as well, without the agent.
He hasn't stayed fit for a season. I don't blame them.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to pay that. Somebody will pay him whatever he wants.
Yeah, a team that's got more cap space, because the Ravens... You know, the Ravens paid freaking Roquan Smith $100 million over however many years it was. So they clearly don't have money to burn after doing things like that. So I'd imagine they're probably hamstrung. They probably want to pay him, like ideally want to pay him, but probably don't have enough to be able to say, yeah, we can pay you and still field a respectable team. So they might.
I think it's all coming down to the guaranteed money as well that Lamar wants. I think these new fully guaranteed contracts are...
Which I think is fine. I think a guaranteed contract is fine.
Yeah, but you're
going
to have to go for a smaller contract.
Yeah, no, but I think it's fine no matter what. I think it's fine if you are a
pocket passer more.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, if you are maybe a Mahomes or a Burrow, you know, fucking definitely for Burrow. But like, if you're a Lamar Jackson who, you know, he's amazing. But if you are Lamar Jackson who basically gets fucking tackled about 50 times a game and he's built like, no offense, but you can, he's getting landed on by, he's getting landed on by big bastards, isn't he? You know, like he could get crushed in a moment without anybody skipping a beat, and then his season could be over, just like it has been the last two seasons.
Yeah, but like I say, someone's going to want him. Someone is going to want him. And he's, what, three seasons away from an MVP or whatever it was? Two seasons away, like, removed from his MVP season?
Yeah, it's probably three now. But, yeah. I mean, yeah, there's no two ways about it. The guy can play football. And when he's got receivers, he can also throw the ball. Like,
he also doesn't have receivers at the Ravens. That needs to be addressed if he's staying there. So,
yeah, exactly. And
you get DeAndre. Oh.
Yeah, but how do you do it all? You can't do it all.
No, you can't.
You can't do it all. You can't pay this man the $250 million that I'm assuming he's after, guaranteed, like Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray, and he's probably asking for more because, let's face it, he's better than Kyler Murray.
Yep.
And he's better than Russell Wilson is right now. So he's probably asking for closer to $300 million. He's probably asking for like Deshaun Watson type money, which is like $280 million. And so you are probably thinking, you know, you're probably thinking, fucking hell, like, I could pay this man, but then we need receivers around him. We can't pay receivers. You can't go and get DeAndre Hopkins and expect to sign him for fucking $2 million a season, can you? It's just not doable.
No, and he's going to want that fully guaranteed contract, like you were saying, because, like you say, he can't stay healthy. Mm-hmm. So that'll be massively in his mind, the fact that he's probably getting injured every season. He definitely could have come back at the end of this season, I reckon, but he's kind of held out on purpose.
Yeah,
but he's going to want that guaranteed money because he's probably thinking, I ain't going to have a career as long as Brady, as long as Mahomes, as long as these pocket passers, because I'm better when I'm running.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So there's kind of pros and cons for his decisions, I suppose, as a player. But he also has to understand if he wants to play for a team and win football, like he could get a deal for sure. He could go to, who's got, you know, the second most cap space? It's something like the Texans or the Bears. I mean, Bears have got most. They're not going to give up Justin Fields, but he could go to somewhere like that, Texans or Colts or something. But they haven't got much all to fucking play with, you know? Like, he's still be in a very similar situation whereby, yes, he'll be a good player in a team, but he'll be a good player in a shit team. It's the whole debate about those super, what do they call those contracts, Dave? In NBA?
Supermax.
Supermax contracts. Like, yeah. It's...
So the Falcons. I said the Falcons because they've got the second most cap space.
Well, there you go. They might be willing to take a punt because actually they're building quite a youthful, rookie-ish team, which means they've probably got money spare whilst also having a good team. But I guess we'll see.
Yeah, they've got Pitts, haven't they? He likes his tight end. He likes Mark Andrews. Kyle Pitts is a far better, more athletic version of that. And then they've got that Drake London as well. So,
yeah, they've got weapons. And Cordarrelle out the backfield is a bit of an animal. Nice little running back, or big running back to have. I guess we'll see. We'll see as the off season progresses. I could definitely see him somewhere else though. If they tag him, he ain't playing. Okay, nice. We will now move into our Super Bowl chat. Super Bowl 57 in Arizona is upon us. It's going to be happening on Sunday night in the UK, Sunday day in Arizona. I think kickoff is at 11:30 p.m. in the UK. So anybody who's listening, who's watching that Super Bowl, you're going to need to get your coffee on at about 9:10 p.m. You're going to have to have had a nap and get ready to watch Super Bowl 57. What I want to talk about first, boys, and our first segment will be ones to watch. So we're going to pick a player each from the Chiefs and the Eagles that we think is the player to watch in that game. So I'm going to start with the guest, the special guest in camo.
Special needs. Sorry. For all you people out there listening, if we sat down and looked at people's IQ, there'd be one special needs bloke in here and it wouldn't be Cam. Or Dom.
Or, well, I don't know. But
Beckham that had to join the army at 16 because school didn't like him.
So, little camo, special camo. Can you give us your Eagles player to watch this week?
Yeah, so for me, I think this game is going to be one on which team can get the running game going, which then allows a lot of the bigger plays downfield later on. So for me, I think the one to watch is, can they get Miles Sanders rolling early, which would then support everything else, support Jalen Hurts with his rushing. But for me, I think it all comes down to, can Miles Sanders be like moving the chains a bit?
Okay, so Miles Sanders, running back, one of their many running backs for the Eagles, but he is their lead back. You think if Miles Sanders is a chugging, the Eagles are...
It frees everything else up, doesn't it? It lets you do everything else that you need.
Okay.
Off play action or Jalen Hurts running it. But yeah, I think they need that to establish that run game.
Was you struggling to think of a word that rhymed with chugging, Dom?
I was, Dave, yeah. If you could help me out with what rhymes with chugging.
They say plug-in, but I don't know if that...
Hugging? Really hugging? That's it, yeah. Should have gone hugging. If Miles Sanders is a chugging, the Eagles are a hugging in the end zone. Okay, nice one, Cam. Dave, who is your Eagles player to watch for the Super Bowl?
Hassan Reddick, I'm going for.
Very nice.
So I was gonna cheat and just say they're in their D line, but I'll go for Reddick because he was a bit of a monster in the last couple of games.
Yeah, amazing. And second in sacks for the year as well across the NFL. So,
and what we've seen, if evidence or history is going to repeat itself, is that if Mahomes is pressured, he flops big time, and that was the reason the Bucs dismantled them in that Super Bowl. The pass rush just did not leave him alone, and if Mahomes he's not got that receiver anymore. That apart from Kelce, who can dump off to, he's not got that wide receiver that's got the ability to keep bullying the defense. So yeah. I think if the defensive line of the Chiefs don't hold up, Hassan Reddick's going to eat, and Mahomes is going to flop.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. I think that is such an important thing for the Chiefs to pay attention to, and I suppose you can't pay attention just to Hassan Reddick, unfortunately, on that Eagles line. You've got so many weapons, and it could be the downfall for Mahomes and the Chiefs. I thought exactly the same, Dave, and tried to hone it down a little bit because I thought I just want to say the Eagles D line, because that's what I really think will be the change in this game. I had Hassan Reddick written down, and then I decided to go somewhere else. But yeah, I think that is going to be a big one for the Eagles. If they can get pressure on Mahomes, don't know how his ankle is. You know, there is that question mark as to, is he fully fit now? Who knows? But if they can get hands on him, I mean, Hassan Reddick single-handedly ended Brock Purdy's fucking season and next season. So,
and possible future career.
Yeah. Well, he's a beast.
Yeah. That's what happened to Cam, wasn't it? Cam Newton.
Yeah.
He gets to the shoulder, game over.
Terrorized. Okay. My Eagles pick is AJ Brown. So my Eagles pick is AJ Brown. I think that all season he's had those splash plays that has basically lit a fire under the Eagles. You know, they get that running game going. They do what Cam says with Sanders, and they get that rolling. And then all the teams start going, fucking hell, we need to stop them. And if AJ Brown can get one-on-one with one of those Chiefs corners are okay, but they're all basically rookies or, you know, 1 year removed from a rookie. He could put a hurting on them one-on-one. And unfortunately, you are going to have to man up against those receivers if you want to protect Mahomes. You know, you're going to be using your tight ends to chip. You're going to be using your linebackers to stop the run. You're going to be committing to containing Jalen Hurts. And then he's a specimen, AJ Brown. He's like a fucking... like Greek god, and he's just going to punish those Chiefs cornerbacks because they're in realness, they're all like 6 foot and like, you know, they weigh like 75 kilos wet through. They're not big men.
No, he's, I don't know how he's transformed them so much. I suppose it's because it kind of, you can't double team him and Devontae Smith, can you? So it kind of leaves him always one on one. But if you're leaving, the dude's not, he's built like Daniil Hunter.
Yeah.
But he runs as quick as like, not Tyreek Hill, but he runs very fast. You know, he's quick. Like, he's a mismatch for any. He's probably a mismatch for linebackers because he's quick. And he's a mismatch for corners because he weighs 100 pounds more than.
Yeah, yeah. So I think if they can get one or two of those deep balls over the top, you know, just 7 points, you know, just a quick 7 points off him, that changes the Eagles' entire offense because they get the lead or even a big lead, they can just keep rolling with that offensive line. Okay, cool. We've done the Eagles. Let's go over to the Chiefs. Let's go with the actual special needs in the group, Dave. Who are you going with for the Kansas City Chiefs?
I mean, we've already mentioned him. It's Mahomes. It's all on Mahomes. Pressure's on him massively to perform. He needs to win he's probably at the stage of his career where he's probably not thinking about legacy, but he's going to want to win. I think this game, like you said earlier, it could be a turning point. If he loses and goes to 1-2, regardless of however many Super Bowls he wins, say if he gets to another two and he finishes 3-2, it's still kind of looked as a bit like, you know, he was great. He's put up all these statistical, because he's going to, let's be honest, if he plays till he's 38, he's going to break every single passing record for passing yards, touchdowns. Mm. He's going to break them all. The dude averages like 5,000 yards every season. Mm. But he'll be held up against the Bradys, who was 7-3.
Mm.
Joe Montana's, who was 7-0. Mm. Eli, even Eli, Big Ben. I think did Big Ben lose one? He was 2-1, wasn't he?
Yep.
Yeah.
But these are people that have won two Super Bowls. The people that have not lost. Do you know what I mean? Like, his career will be compared against them because ultimately it's about winning.
Yeah, it comes down to the what could have been, isn't it? Like, he could have had this, he could have had that. But he's got this, right? But it's right. It is all on Mahomes, and I feel like all of the pressure is on Mahomes and the Chiefs. Like, I feel like the Eagles are coming in with a lot less pressure on them, and it's, can Mahomes go out there and do it? Which,
yeah, it's a weird one, isn't it?
Yeah,
because the Eagles team's so much better,
so much better.
So you would think the pressure would be on them because if they don't win, it's like, fucking hell, you're the better team, but you lost. Whereas the pressure actually all seems to be on Mahomes because people think he needs to win this game.
But is that because Mahomes is that good that people are putting the pressure on him? Like, probably. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
I would love to have the Super Bowl where nobody wins. That would be my ideal thing. Could it be a draw?
I think that's what Christian McCaffrey said. He said, he was asking.
Who do you want to win? Nobody.
Yeah, he said nobody. I hope they both lose. But, yeah, I think a lot of people are in that position this year with the Eagles being a difficult franchise to follow, certainly if you're a Giants fan. But also, yeah, they seem to have come out of nowhere, which is a kind of a good thing, but also not. They've come out of nowhere with such a good team. But and there's a lot of haters on the Chiefs, and I kind of get it in the fact that they've won quite a lot. I don't know. Yeah, I understand. I kind of do understand why people hate on Mahomes, but also, I don't know.
No, you don't.
No, I do. No, I understand why. I understand why. I love him because because he plays that kind of exciting football. I think that it's different. It's something that we've not seen for a really long time. And you always feel like you're going to get a treat watching him. But yeah, I can understand why people also hate on the fact that, you know, people, you know, he sounds like Kermit the Frog and he wins a lot of football games. And if you don't support the Chiefs, it's going to be painful. So yeah. The pressure is on for Mahomes. There's no two ways about it. I think not his legacy hangs in the balance, but certainly how his future career path continues will be massively steered by a win or a loss here. Camo, Chiefs,
yeah.
Who are you watching?
It's Mahone's best bud. It's his go-to, his safety blanket.
Mm-hmm.
Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
Like, if they can't get him going, or if the Eagles can shut him down, I think they've gone over 50% of the way to winning that game. I think he's always there. Like, the man is always there for Mahomes. And fair play to him. He is very, very, very good. But yeah, I think he's the one that will move the chains for the Chiefs more than anybody.
Yeah. Yeah, can't argue with that. Yeah, can't argue with it at all. I think the Chiefs' linchpin to win is obviously Mahomes, number one, but then secondary, it's Kelce. Like, in the last playoff game he played, he broke any record of receptions for a tight end in a playoff game. He moves the chains. He's a demon after catch somehow, even though he's massive. And if you can get him rolling, he can win games. If you can shut him down, Mahomes kind of loses his head a little bit.
He's got to look elsewhere then, isn't he? And yeah. Those receivers outside of Kelce are not top tier. They're not, like...
Mm.
So it's the... Yeah, you never know what's going to happen when you throw in outside of Kelce, especially against that defense on the Eagles.
Yeah, it's fair play. It's fair play. And I mean, Kelce is probably, if he plays for another 3 or 4 years, he's probably going to go down as the best tight end of all time. And again, this is not a legacy thing for him necessarily, because it's all on quarterbacks. But if he gets another Super Bowl win, it only helps his argument as well, I think, Dave. Anyway, I know you're a big Gronk fan, but does he become the best tight end?
He's certainly top three right now, isn't he?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I think Gronk's thing that he's going to have over any tight end is how effective he was in such a short period of time. Like, if Gronk played for the amount of years that, like, Kelce plays for, or Shannon Sharp or Tony Gonzalez, he'd eclipse everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
The fact is, he didn't, and he couldn't stay healthy. So, and Kelce, he's pretty much, he's always there, and he's never injured. Mm. And if he gets another Super Bowl or two, you know, stats-wise, he's definitely going to be up there. But it's that ability to win as well. And Gronk has got that 4 Super Bowls. So.
Yeah.
And can Kelce, which Kelce brother gets the family bragging rights?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. What are they, one? They both got one each.
Got one at the minute.
Yeah, that's true. That's another thing in this Super Bowl. Another interesting fact. First time ever that two brothers have played against each other in a Super Bowl. Travis Kelce and Jason Kelce. It's going to be interesting. I think there was a petition to have their mum do the coin toss.
Yep, there is.
Oh, really?
Yeah, with a split jersey on, half and half. But
they're good dudes as well. They've got a podcast which is pretty funny.
Yeah,
they're very likable people.
Are they funnier than us, Dave?
I mean, well, they're funnier than you.
Why, I oughta. Okay, and then I guess my final one, I'm cheating a little bit here. I'm going for two people, but I'm going for Frank Clark and George Karlaftis. So they're new rookie, but basically I'm going for the edge rushers of the Chiefs. I think the linchpin in this game is making sure that they contain Jalen Hurts. They make everything go down the middle. And if they make everything go down the middle, you've got big old Chris Jones to try and stop you. And that man is arguably defensive player of the year. I don't think he's going to be the reason why I didn't pick him is I don't think he's going to be an impact player in this game from a splash play sacks point of view. I think Jalen Hurts can quickly get out of the way of somebody like Chris Jones, who's a big, like, massive, overgrown fucking mummy coming at you through the middle of the defensive line. Plus, they've got Jason Kelce, who's amazing. I think he gets owned by Chris Jones, though. But I think it's about how Frank Clark and Karlaftis and even Dunlap set the edge on Jalen Hurts and don't let him use his legs and get out. I'd be playing very similarly to the way that that Nick Bosa, even though he's an animal, played against Jalen Hurts, and that was that he was rushing deep and then not trying to get the sack. He was kind of like rushing deep and then holding off, just basically to stop Jalen Hurts move. And I think you're better off stopping him move and not sacking him, but pressuring him, than trying to overcommit and letting him run straight past you. So I think it comes down to the Chiefs just sort of containing him, making him throw the ball quickly, because that's not his forte. Yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah, no, it's true. You were saying about Chris Jones not being like an impact player. I think almost the opposite. If it's a situational type of like a moment or a big third down stop or something, he certainly has the ability to make that play. And I think for a defensive lineman like that, they only need one or two plays in a game to be remembered for that game being Chris Jones's third down stop.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. I mean, for me as well, how does the Eagles pressure hold up in terms of Jalen Hurts? You say he's 24 years old. He's not been to a Super Bowl before. This is Mahomes' third time. Like, how does that all play into it later on?
Yeah, but hopefully he fumbles the ball 15 times. And Chris Jones absolutely has his lunch, takes his lunch money.
Yeah.
Would be nice. No, I think it's setting the edge is definitely key to stop them running the ball with a quarterback and getting those outside zone runs, which they seem to destroy teams with.
Mm.
They've just got such a physical offensive line. Like, I don't even know. That's the reason it's so hard to stop, because they can run the ball down. They can run it down your throat. They can run it left. He can run it. And then, do you know what I mean? He's capable of throwing the ball downfield. But that's the way you've got to look at it. You've got to look at it and be like, if he can beat us by throwing the ball and we can stop the rush, then fucking fair fox, man. Like, you can't take everything away.
Yeah.
It's too difficult.
No, absolutely. So I guess we'll see what happens there. And that is the end of Ones to Watch. So anybody who is new or not necessarily week to week on the NFL, I know a lot of people who just watch the Super Bowl. If you're listening to the podcast, have a watch. We've given you some players to keep an eye on and potentially game changing players in that Super Bowl. Before I get to the second segment, one thing we've not spoken about, so I just want to air it out there, and that is the halftime show. Rihanna. What do we reckon? Do you reckon she's going to do a proper good show, or do you reckon she's going to do a freaking Coldplay or whatever it was the last time it absolutely stunk?
She's going to stink it up.
Do you reckon?
Yeah. I think last year's was a bit of a flop as well.
Yeah, I said that yesterday.
The caliber of people that were on that show, and you've got a fat 50 pence hanging from a hanging from a pull-up bar with all his yogurt on display. And I just don't think, like, there was too much going on, you know what I mean?
Scared,
that could have been 10 years worth of halftime shows right there with the amount of people they had.
Definitely.
And I don't think, so she's not got a lot to follow. I mean, I thought The Weeknd the year before was way better than last year's.
Yeah.
The Weeknd the year before?
Yeah, it was, yeah. I didn't like The Weeknd, but...
I quite like him as an actor, whatever, but I thought he was way better than that one last year. And then I don't think Rihanna's good live. I know people have been and seen her live and they don't think much to her, so.
I've heard that same thing, that she can't sing live.
Same.
But let's see. I think she'll put on a show. I don't think the vocals will be there, but I think visually, and there's a bit of a spectacle, I think it might be pretty good.
She's got to have some guests with her, surely. You know what I mean? Like, who do you reckon she's bringing out?
Who's she's that got, monk she's married to? Someone?
She's got a kid with ASAP Rocky, I think. But yeah, that I think who's gonna look after the kid? He's surely babysitting.
Well, who's she part of? She's part of Jay-Z's
Rock Nation, Rockefeller Records or whatever it is. So
maybe Kanye's gonna come out.
Fucking hell. Good grief. Can you imagine just like run out in a straight jacket going...
Yeah.
CTE
Kanye.
CTE Kanye with AB.
Oh my God. Yeah, maybe AB's going to be there. Maybe. He's a rapper now, isn't he?
Yeah, Antonio Brown will be there with his knob out.
Yeah, what an absolute bell end.
Proper. But I mean, I tell you what, if you'd have said 5 years ago, or maybe a bit longer, maybe say 7 years ago, that she might bring out Kanye West, fucking hell would that be a show. But I can't
they need
see...
To get, they what? Need to get... They need to have, like, fucking Calvin Harris or David Guetta there.
Oh, yeah, some fucking house music.
With stars, though, wouldn't they? So you could bring out...
Yeah, the love kick starts again. Is that them?
Yeah, I can't remember. So that's Calvin Harris, yeah.
Is it? Yeah?
Yeah, but, like, Guetta's done things with Rihanna. He's done it with Nicki Minaj, done it with... He's the lizard out of... Destiny's Child.
Beyonce.
No, the other one.
Oh, Kelly Rowland?
Yeah, he's done stuff, but he's been okay. Bangers, isn't he?
Yeah,
Kid Cudi.
Yeah.
Kid Cudi would be sick.
Yeah,
he would be sick. Yeah.
It could be anybody off his label, I guess.
Man. I was the commish.
If only, Dave. We'll have to try and get a in the end zone UK fucking slot at the Super Bowl next year, and we can tell him who we want rapping. At the halftime show, or singing, or DJing. I don't know, whatever David Guetta is. He's a DJ, technically?
Yeah, he is, yeah. Disc jockey. Tony Romo's been pulled in and briefed up because he's...
Yeah, he's sat down and something with his commentating.
Shit this year.
Yeah.
He's like, he's definitely got a run play here. Okay, he's throwing the ball.
Yeah, he's definitely been briefed up. And I think, yeah, he lets his emotion get... way ahead of him sometimes in games.
Who's
and
commentating on this, on the Super Bowl?
It's got to be Romo.
Oh, I can't, no, they can't put Romo on a
move. I'm pretty sure, mate. Unless they do like an amalgamation, I don't know whether they do that. I don't know whether they bring like the best from fucking Fox or the best from...
Or are both like Fox and like NBC or whatever it is
covering it.
Showing it, and so you can actually watch it on either.
I suppose could happen. Could happen. Yeah. But I'd imagine that it'd be Romo and who's his partner in crime, who's actually really good.
So this says it's Super Jim Bowl 57 between it ain't them.
No way.
I don't think this can't be true. Because if it's true, I'm muting it.
It's not fucking Greg Olsen, is it?
It's Greg Olsen and Kevin Burkhardt. Hard, but it's got, that's what it says. Fox has turned to his top two commentating jury because they've got it. Fox has got it.
Wow.
And NBC had it last year, and NBC's Romo and the other dudes with. So it's Greg the Balding Eagle Olsen and Kevin Burkhardt.
I tell you what, I would much rather have fucking Romo than Greg Olsen. Maybe that's questionable. But
Romo
I would.
No, not a chance.
No, you'd rather have Greg the Leg.
I'd rather have Whiskey Nose and his mate.
Troy Aikman and Joe Buck.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're decent, they are. That'd probably be
or
the best one. Or the Mannings.
Are the Mannings doing a Manning cast on it?
God knows.
That would be amazing.
That Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth, they're not bad.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. They're good, actually. Collinsworth's a legend. Now, here's a guy... Yeah, he's
Greg
all right.
Olsen. Yeah.
Looks like a bit of a perv. Titan. Yeah. All right, cool. Well, halftime show and commentators covered. On to the last piece of info. And before we give predictions, I just want to read this little anecdote out. So what I saw earlier this week was fucking mental. But when you're trying to decide who's going to win this game, when you look at the stats of these two teams together, side by side, it is fucking mental. So the Chiefs this year had a 16-3 record. The Eagles this year had a 16-3 record. The Chiefs scored 546 points this year. The Eagles scored 546 points this year. They've both got six All-Pros, including a Kelce brother. And they were both the number one seed of the AFC and the NFC. How mental is that?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it's the right Super Bowl. When you say it like that, it's the best two teams from their respective conferences. It's just stylistically, how does it end up? I'm in for it. I can't wait. I think it's going to be really good. Two very different teams, I'd say.
Yeah. Two very different teams with very similar stats.
Yeah. Shows you more than one way of doing it.
Absolutely. So we move into our final segment of the week, Super Bowl 57, Arizona. What are our predictions in the segment, Super Bowl predictions? So, Dave, start us off with what you think is going to happen and the score in this game.
0-0.
0-0, yeah.
It'll be awful at the end. And what they'll do is they'll ring the Giants. They'll get the Giants flown in. The Giants will win the Super Bowl 7-0 in overtime. Daniel Jones, screen pass to Saquon Barkley, takes it 85 yards to the house.
Bets on that, Cam?
Yeah, you've heard it here first.
175,000,000 to 1.
That's not a number.
A penny down. The
Chiefs are going to win 24-23.
Oh, that's a tight one.
Because there's no way I'm picking the Eagles to win.
1 point in it.
1 point.
Does it come down to like the final drive, or are we?
It comes down to a 2 point play.
Oh.
And the Eagles fuck it up.
Oh, that's lovely. I love that narrative.
I mean, if that's how the game goes, you're getting the drama and the intense at the end, which
yeah.
I think we're all
it's
here
a
for.
Fumbled snap as well. Kelsey, yeah. Like. Jason Kelsey, whatever his name is, he's having an amazing game. Last play, fumbles, snaps it too low, which is hard because Jalen Hurts always takes the snap in the fucking line.
Sitting
down
on the ground.
Yeah. That's nice. It. That's my prediction. 24-23 Chiefs.
Okie dokes. And Camo.
Okay, I was going 24-17 to the Eagles.
Mm.
Something that I think we don't talk about enough is you don't stop the Eagles on third and one or fourth and one. They've got probably the best record in that stat. The Chiefs have the worst record
right.
on that stat on third, like third and ones. I think they're 30th in the league or something on third and ones. And if you can't convert third downs, say that is your money down.
Yeah.
I think they'll struggle. I can see the Eagles going out ahead quite early, getting that running game going. And if they get that running game going, they can control the clock, keep Mahomes off the field. And then I think Mahomes does make some big splash plays, makes it interesting, but doesn't quite pull it back.
Interesting. Okay. Fair enough.
So what's yours?
Yeah, I feel quite similar to you, Cam, but I'm going that the Chiefs win 34-27. But I think that the Eagles go up early. I think the Eagles go up by 13 points minimum first. It could be 13-0 if you're in America, 13-0. And I think that we see a typical Chiefs Mahomes comeback late in the third, and then the Eagles get desperate and can't get it done. I think Hurts' head comes off in the Super Bowl. He's too young. Mahomes has got the experience, and the Chiefs put a 7 point difference between them and the Eagles to win their second Super Bowl under Patrick Mahomes.
Okay. Yeah, it's a lot of points. It's a lot of points on the board you've got there.
I hope it is. That's what I'm hoping for, because I want a Super Bowl that's got a lot of points. I don't want a fucking Patriots Rams 9-6.
No, it's elite. Yeah, you want to see a show in the Super Bowl, don't you? But I don't think the Chiefs have got the ability to put their points up.
No.
Especially with his record of throwing touchdowns. In the Super Bowl. He's only got two more than me.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that maybe we see something from Mahomes that we've not seen before in a Super Bowl, where he comes in and just plays a bit more like he plays regular season. Like, obviously pressure is always going to get to everyone, but I guess we'll see. I also will not be surprised in the slightest if the Eagles dump all over the Chiefs. That's what I will say. I don't think the Chiefs are going to dump on anyone, but I think if one team runs away with it, like as in storms away with it, it'll be the Eagles.
I don't see Andy Reid letting that happen.
I hope not.
I think Andy Reid will. I think he might call quite a cautious game to start with. They're going to grow into the game. They don't want to. I'd say they don't want to get down big early. Obviously, they don't want to get down big at all. But they're going to stay in it to start with. Get Mahomes comfortable. Test out that ankle. See what's going on. And then third quarter, fourth quarter, really turn it on a bit, and we'll see a bit more spectacular plays coming out.
Nice. Very good. Well, that's it. That is our road to the Super Bowl. Thank you both very much for joining. It's been a fun episode. Lots of opinions going into such a big game. It's what we do it for, right? It's what all the players do it for. It's what In the End Zone UK is all about. You know, everyone plays and does what they do towards a Super Bowl. That's all that matters. So that's what we're going to look forward to this week. As per usual, thank you all for listening. For those listeners who have been following us on our social media, particularly on our Instagram, In the End Zone UK, be aware that we're going to be doing our giveaway of the Eagles hat and football just before the Super Bowl starts on Sunday. Winners will be picked at randoms. If you haven't already got into the competition, make sure you check out our Instagram page. Like, follow, subscribe, do what you need to, and share our In the End Zone page for a chance to win an Eagles beanie hat. Not many people want them, Dave, I'm sure. But some people do. And it might make a good gift for an Eagles fan if you know one anyway. So make sure that you follow and do the business on our social media page. But for now, we wish you all an amazing Super Bowl. Hope that you're with friends, drinking beer, eating American food, hot dogs, wings, nachos, burgers, the lot. Stay safe, stay up late, and enjoy Super Bowl 57. Philadelphia Eagles taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. But for now, we are gone. Peace.
Later.
Nice one.